I was stuck in a labyrinth, called it a palace. He brought me out and gave me eyes to see all my lonely towers, my misspent hours. You filled them with flowers in ways I can't believe.
All right, guys, we and ladies, we are here for some reflections, maybe unconventional reflections on Foursquare Convention, which recently changed its name to Connection. So we had some times, and let's just say right up front, I had a great time at Foursquare Convention, Foursquare Connection. I believe the Holy Spirit was moving. There was some times of prophetic prayer, some times of worship, renewal, restoring our soul. It was in many ways a different connection than I've experienced in a lot of years. It was just very inspiring. It was wonderful. It was good to connect with people. Maybe you guys had some thoughts just about that before we get into some of the silly stories.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't there. I was home in Vegas, so. But it sounds like it was
time. But I was living vicariously through everyone.
Sounds like it was a good time.
Thank you, Salma.
from what I've heard, yeah. I don't know. From what I've heard from pastors, and I know I had a couple of friends that were there. They said it was a really great time. So, yeah.
It was probably one of the best ones I've been to, I think. I was like, it did feel like pastor summer camp more so this year than I think it did previously. Which was kind of nice. I feel like every once in a while you got to go and like have a spiritual experience for the pastors as well. Yeah. So I thought it was great, but I do think that this is one of the first times in probably a while that we've been led prophetically by a president, and that we all went into this knowing that he was going to like lead this like call and vision that he has for the next like 4 or 5 years that he's the president. So I think that really set, Randy really set a tone that I think everyone reaped the benefit of for the entire week. Yeah. So I loved it. I thought it was really, really great.
Yeah. I came a little earlier because my wife, she works for like the comms team. So I came like a few days
Humble
earlier.
Brag.
Yeah,
humble brag.
Humble brag. They sent me out here early.
Humble brag.
Humble brag. I'm punching above my weight class.
Exactly. And my height class.
Okay. Stop. Rooting for you, dog.
Thank you. There's a place for us. Tom Cruise is a good example. Okay.
Ooh, that's good. Tom Holland as well.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
A few. Matt Damon.
Yeah. Right?
Wow. There's a few
Jason others. Statham.
Yep. There you go. yeah, that had nothing to do with what I was talking about.
Pee-wee Herman?
No, you're good, Herman. Go ahead.
No. I appreciate all this. Okay. You know, you either have to take it in life, you know, like that, or you just kind of accept, you know. I think of a zombie apocalypse, like, I can navigate smaller crawl spaces.
That's good.
To there you
leave
go.
And to run away.
I like that.
He's like,
I'm
hiding.
Mindset.
That's how I'm thinking.
Yeah. I've been wondering what I do if I Am Legend actually happens. Oh, no. What am I gonna do?
Find Will Smith and get the heck out of there. Get out of there.
I think in any natural disaster, I would look for Will Smith. Just for some sort of guidance.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm derailing your thoughts.
To circle us back to what Megan said about prophetic. They were praying, and I ran into Grace Vail, who works with Randy, and she was guiding people long before the meeting started in the morning. Board of directors were coming and praying over the seats. So I just thought that was a really fun first impression I had of Monday morning. So I had some wonderful, fun impressions, and we do want to get an opportunity to hear from Megan, and because she was one of the speakers at the Foursquare Scholars Fellowship meeting, and so we'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the things I like to do is just these kinds of meetings are strange for me because there's 3,000 people, and some of them I know. And they'll walk by, hey, Andy, and they'll keep walking. And I'm like, if my wife is there, I'll say, who was that? And she's like, I don't know their name. And or if I'm with somebody else, they're like, I don't know, because they don't know who that is either. And so I have very interesting experiences at large group meetings, whether it's a party of 100 people or 3,000. And I'm like, who's talking to me across the room, waving at me? And they'll tell me later, I waved at you, or I wanted to talk to you.
And you're like, yeah, that didn't do what you think it did.
Like this girl who was in my
communication a little differently there.
This girl in my junior high group was like, I wanted to come say hi to you, but you were always talking to somebody. And she's like, I couldn't give the look. Like, are you done talking to them? And I didn't know there was this like kind of like nonverbal thing. Like,
oh yeah,
there's a hierarchy of like, oh, I'm done talking to you now because so-and-so's over here.
Yeah. Like,
I didn't know there was a nonverbal way to do that. So anyway, so I have like friends who are more shy who are like, oh, I didn't want to come interrupt you. I'm like, I wanted to be interrupted so bad. You have no idea.
You're like, I've been trying to get out of this conversation. I can't figure out which way to go.
Yeah.
But so, and then there's things that I just like go spontaneously to, hey, I wasn't planning to go to this breakfast, but I'm down here. I'm going to go not eat by myself with these tangerines and protein bar. I'm going to go to the invite
for your lunch.
The invite only, not the Monday afternoon women in ministry leadership. Anyone who was a woman in ministry could go to. And I was prevented from that one by Carrie Jenkins. But there, this other one, invite only for senior leaders in that are women in ministry. So pastor or co-pastor, which I still think is super weird because sometimes we men think, oh, you're pastor's wife. And they're like, no, I'm co-pastor. I know, it's just another way to say pastor's wife. No, I'm co-pastor. And like, they're the one that's actually preaching most of the time or whatever. But but we always, as men, look at the woman, wife, co-pastor, like, oh, okay, you're like this, like co-pilot, like second, right?
Not the co-pilot.
I know. I'm just saying
as the co-host of TikTok Theology, I get it.
Yeah. So,
the co-host.
Okay. Shots fired.
That's
okay.
Crazy. That was good. That was good.
Thank you. That does have lore to it that I'll explain when I'm not on the mic.
Oh, so that's a bonus.
That is a bonus.
You have a Patreon, right?
Patreon is me name dropping the guy who called me the co-host of TikTok Theology.
Okay. So I am like, okay, I'm going to go. I don't know where the room is. So I'll ask one of the volunteers and I walk with a volunteer to the room where these, I don't know how many were in the room, but round tables and special breakfast being set out. And I get there like 15 minutes early and at the door, they're checking people in and they're like, Andy, do you know where you are? And I'm like, yeah, I came here.
Like, I actually made my way here on purpose.
And then like, and I'm, this is me paraphrasing, but like, are you a senior leader? I'm like, no. So, are you? They didn't say this, but they're thinking.
Like, I hate to say this, but
they're thinking. Yeah. I'm probably thinking, but this is, and they kind of said, "Well, this is for senior women leaders."
Yeah.
Like, are you? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, well, and they're trying to like say,
I feel like you don't. Fit
as of recently,
criteria.
Yeah.
They're trying to say you're not allowed, but they're trying to be nice. And so then I said, "Well, I'm just here to cheer them on. I'm here to like support." They're like, oh, okay. You can come in, but they didn't like help me know where to go. Yeah. So then I go stand in the back
table by yourself, right?
And first I wandered to the back wall because the night before I was in the back wall listening to Megan at the same room give her spiel about reaching the next generation, her generation, and so on. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I know this back wall. I was standing here listening to Megan last night.
I know this feels like a familiar wall, actually.
And I'm glad to support other women in ministry leadership. So, so then somebody came and was like, do you like some help? And I'm like, I don't need to eat your food. I didn't like, no, no. And they put me in a table in the back corner that had nobody else. And so, but I got breakfast with bacon. And it was great. And
that's nice.
Praise God.
And I'm sitting there and somebody else comes up like, Andy, this person from a district that would be remain nameless who had been helping me with volunteering. She's like, maybe he came in here and just sat down. Andy, do you want me to help you get to the room you're trying to go to? And I'm like, no, I'm here. Like,
yeah.
This is where I want to be. And then I'm like eating. And then Nicole Henneforth, who pastors in the greater San Diego area in Poway, she comes up and she's like, Andy. And I've known her since I was at Bible college 25 years ago. And she was, her parents were camp managers up at Camp Searcrest. And I'm like, Nicole, like, and she's like, Andy, I know, you know where you are. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, I know. She's like, I know what you're doing. What do you mean? What am I doing? And I was the only guy in the whole room. I found out later. Like, so, so she's like, I know what you're doing. And I'm like, no, I'm here scouting the next president of Foursquare. So I had to keep trying to give a reason to be there.
Yeah.
So that was, my friends who was speaking at the thing and others who were like, if I saw where you were, I'd have invited you to my table or whatever. But later that's what I heard, but I kept feeling like this must be similar, and I don't want to over dramatize this, but this must be similar to when when women who I've heard stories from, like, they were like, okay, you can be in the room, but here you can be in the back corner, or hey, this is for the pastors. Why don't you guys go shopping? Here's some money for a district meeting. You can go shopping while we're doing the important meeting. Or so these are stories that I've heard in the past. Yeah. I'm like, wow. Maybe this is what it was like. And I'm not saying that the women were trying to do that to me, but I was just putting myself in shoes of people I heard stories from.
Yeah. Mm.
All right.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know if Megan or Salma is might have some impressions from that they'd like to share as young women coming up in ministry.
I don't know. I think for me personally, my experience is, I think honestly, which I'm really grateful that I can say this, I've always been like welcomed, I guess, in like my home church, obviously here at LPU. Yeah, I've always kind of been given the impression of like you're welcome in these spaces. And honestly, I feel like as a woman, encouraged to just step into the calling that God has on my life. So I'm grateful I get to say that. I know a lot of ladies and who were even my age probably wrestling with their calling don't get to say the same thing. So grateful that I've been placed in spaces that I can say that.
yeah, probably. I think that one, I also, like Salma, have been really, really blessed with different places that I was brought up in and raised in, and even in Foursquare churches and stuff that believed in me. But I also know on the other hand of that, other side of that coin, there are a lot of women who, even in Foursquare, haven't received that same experience. And I was championed as well at Life. So I feel like LPU has also been a space that has been really believed in,
yeah,
in my calling and stuff. I think that more so than us happening to get lucky, I think Salma and I are in the minority of, yeah, women leaders that were believed in kind of right off the rip. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's one thing to like get lucky. I think it's unfortunate that we have to get lucky.
Yeah.
Like, I think that it's unfortunate that we get to be in spaces where we happen by the collective to have people who don't, yeah, submit to the wider belief that still that women aren't in ministry, don't belong in ministry, or they can't lead as successfully or whatever thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that I'm super blessed. And it seems like Salma has a very similar experience where, yeah, we're super blessed, but it's also, I think there's some grief to the fact that like we got lucky, yeah, because that's that's not a wider experience. And, I think it's unfortunate that not every woman's experience is, yeah, like this. And I think it just speaks to how thankful I am to the people who've believed in me and championed my leadership, and also like still how far there is to go. Because it's also easy to champion people who are kids and then youth and then some like in college, because it doesn't really like those are contained spaces.
Yeah,
like you can champion me in college. It's the, hey, you're an actual adult with a thought and a feeling.
Wow.
That is where it gets hard, because I feel like it's really easy to be like, yeah, you're doing great in youth ministry, and yeah, you're doing great in young adults ministry,
yeah,
and then it's a whole other rip when you're like, oh, mm-hmm, now you're doing great, but you're an adult who contributes to adult ministry, and I'm not ready to give that up yet.
Yeah.
So I think that's, yeah, the difference that I've experienced, because even I've probably experienced more resistance to being a woman in ministry since I've graduated LPU than than I ever did before that.
Wow.
Get ready, Salma.
Yeah. Hey, it's worth it. We'll keep going on that, yeah, when we get there.
I had a question.
Yeah, question.
Yeah,
and then
logical question. That's with that.
Okay, yeah.
Or is that not for bonus episode?
No, bonus episodes. Okay.
How deep am I allowed to get on the bonus episode?
We can theologize.
I joke about being 5'6", but I also have deep thoughts too. You know? I'm a whole package. I like walking on,
yeah,
the beach,
you tell
as well.
Him.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm married, so stay away.
He's like, so get rebuked because I do take walks on the beach with my wife.
Okay, before you get to that question, I have to share this, and I'm going to do this as diplomatically as I can.
Was this you trying? Is this the story I'm waiting for?
No, that was the first one.
Oh, okay.
I just, you give good first impression. So that I was in a meeting where we were hearing about somebody prior to convention saying, hey, why does Life Pacific, why are they on the agenda? Kind of like,
oh, I heard about this actually.
What is their role in Foursquare? And so, and that's not a new sentiment.
Like, it's not a new sentiment.
It's like, what is the value of an expensive education, yeah, for ministry? And
well,
I'm not here to solve
church history, but you know.
Yeah, I'm not here to solve that problem. But I'd say a lot of things about that. But we can maybe come back to answering that question. But so there's this sense a lot of our, especially larger churches, like, oh, mm-hmm. we can train them here
mm-hmm. yeah.
better. Yep. And the results can speak for themselves.
Yeah.
Long term, there may be short term success, but then there's this sense of why send our people there and those questions. And mm-hmm. it's been something I've with 25 years ago as a student, people would have those questions, but
yeah,
but then
probably will in 25 years.
But then,
yeah. oh yeah, every couple of years, yeah. I'd be like, all right. Yeah.
But to contrast that, I was mm-hmm. 2:00 in the afternoon because my friend was speaking at the Chinese in the multi ethnic
right.
breakouts mm-hmm. in the Chinese one, and since my Chinese isn't that good, I still decided to go, and and I come in there, and I'm just trying to sneak in the back, and then there's somebody helping interpret. For me, but then Bella, who's leading the breakout, and I've known from my work in Foursquare Mission, she's like, "Oh, let's have it, people introduce themselves and that are new." And so, like 3 or 4 people, and then she's like, "And Andy, do you want to introduce yourself?" And I'm like, "Want to? No, I don't want to." and she's like, "Okay." And then like Auntie or Grandma voice comes in and like. Or you have to introduce yourself. Okay, I have to. Yeah. My name is Andy Opie, and like, and then this other guy I know who's Taiwan background and works in Hamtramck, Detroit area. He's like, Andy, tell him where you teach. And I'm like thinking, oh, earlier this morning, like depending what room you're
yeah.
in. So I say, yeah. oh, I teach at Life Pacific, and. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, oh, wow, oh, we have a Life Pacific professor in the room with us.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's kind of like yeah. the nonverbal. And then right. I mm-hmm. said one more thing. I forget what I said, but maybe because I was being like kind of this kind of sarcastic humor. And then like I teach there and mm-hmm. and this realized Dr. Opie. And then all of a sudden this culture that honors education
yeah. Yeah.
and oh, honors that. All yeah. of those things. And they see Life Pacific as like their like premier school for people studying theology and ministry.
Wow.
And this one lady who's like Malaysia background and part of a church in Phoenix, like, yeah. and you might hear it wrong when I say this, but she's like, are you single? And I'm like,
no, dog.
I am heavily married. And
so married.
But, yeah. Like walks so, on the beach
so with
as well,
kids.
And,
so she yeah. she told me.
So with kids. So she, have kids.
So then she tells me that I was just hoping that you weren't single because you are too good to be single. Like, so okay. I'm glad yeah. somebody's married. Like, that's what she
oh,
was.
I get it.
She meant it that way. She meant it that way. But at first I was like, I'm like,
do I give a compliment this? To be said?
Yes. Oh, wow. And I was like, how am I supposed to receive this? Yeah. I was just like, so yes, it was like, wow. Yes.
Yeah,
it was yeah. all I did. But so I'm like, oh dear. Okay. So like, I just thought, and I forget why we went down this road, but you're yeah. asking a theological question and something yeah. led to.
Just something else theological.
But I was just like, yeah, depending where we are, like theology is yeah. very well received.
The and different other, response. Yeah.
And other
the thing
places.
Is we all theologize, right? You wake up. Why? Yeah. Why is this happening today? Or what's going yeah. on? Everybody's doing theology at any level, at any space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not. And I hate this idea that we have to compete against each other. We're all
right.
on the same team,
yep.
on the same mission, playing different parts of the sport. We're the team yeah. for the same goal. You know what I mean?
So, anyways, so tell us what's your question.
Oh, that
had question.
Nothing to do with that.
No, what's your question?
Before we go back to
yeah, we'll see where we go on this, right? No, but I've been playing around with this idea of like, mm-hmm. we use the word lucky, right? To describe things that don't make sense of why they took place.
Yeah.
And so we allow it to like random chance. So I think that was just more common phrase of when you were saying, oh, we feel lucky in our spots.
Yeah.
Or do you actually feel like luck, or do you think that there's an mm-hmm. intentionality by God why you live the life and the place and the people you have in your life, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, that. I think for me, I think there definitely was like an intentionality with it. And so I guess even like that phrasing of like lucky, I think it kind of highlights mm-hmm. like, oh, like this isn't always, you know, this isn't always like ladies our age or like especially like young girls, like at least, I mean, I'm 20. So
right.
girls that are in their 20s, I started a teen girls ministry when I was 14. Mm-hmm. Like not a lot of 14-year-old mm-hmm. year old girls get to say, oh, I had leadership invest in me, not just to be like, oh, run the girls Bible study, but actually yeah. saying like, oh, will you get up on stage and will you like give a short devo? So mm-hmm. those little things. So I guess it's more of like, I think the Lord definitely was intentional, like with where he placed me and even like having me here at LPU. I think I felt that support even more, which was honestly a big reason why I chose LPU, is because when I was going to go to university, I was like, well, I have this call all my life for ministry. I don't fully know what this looks like yet, but I know I can't ignore it. And I knew going to life, I wouldn't be able to ignore it, especially as like a woman in leadership. I think that would honestly even be encouraged more. So I think there definitely has been some intentionality. But again, I think they're definitely what Megan was saying. There's definitely, just a grieving part of that too, of realizing like, oh, we're a small percentage, I guess, to be able to say that.
I don't want to put words in the mouth of Megan who said lucky, but like, there's a sense of like, even for myself with disability, like I have the privilege of having a job when some of my friends who graduated from PhD are still looking for a job. And so there's a sense of like, why am I getting something that we're all equally qualified for, or I'm even somewhat less qualified because people are like, what can you do when you can't see? Lucky is maybe just the slang.
It wasn't a nitpick. It was just curious. There's like, you know, you talked a little bit about that, right? And so instead of having to go through that whole spiel, sometimes it's easier just to be like, here's the word so I can get my point across. Yeah. But I get really interested in the nuance of like, how do you see your life and like God interact with you?
I think there is some degree of both and is because I do struggle with the belief that Salma or I are any more in the plan of God to be promoted as leaders than any other woman. But I do think that to some degree, everyone gets to choose. And so I think that to some degree, there is a lucky aspect of us being in places of people who did choose us and did choose. Because I know a lot of people who even claim outwardly, they're like, I love women in ministry. But when it push comes to shove, they're never going to put a woman in leadership. Like they fundamentally believe it. But the actual playing out is a little bit of a different conversation. So I think both are true. And that but I also think that the double-sided coin of when you're the woman that does get it, I feel this responsibility that I'm like, I'm not just going to be someone who sits and receives all of the favor that I've gotten, but how can I use the favor that I've received to then make it so that the next generation of women, then as far be it from me, that they won't have to thank their lucky stars that they were like, oh, I got it. Like they, that it will be as a space where I will do everything I can to make sure that they don't have to get lucky, but that it's a system that actually systematically believes in them from the beginning.
That's cool.
And even like, I always think about ways, even like at 20, like how can I give this back to somebody younger than me? Which honestly, Megan, so much of your work with MPI, I feel like is doing just that. Like I was just in a preaching mentorship program where I, as a woman, was able to go and preach in a Sunday service. And that's like,
which I listened. It was phenomenal. It was so good.
That's not always the case. And so even like for me, like I always try and think about, okay, where, like, what are ways that I can like give this back? Like what are ways that I can invest in the way that I've been invested as a woman in leadership? How can I invest in like young girls that are like starting to discover that calling?
And
so
I think just like even at the crux of that, right, is the idea of like, and there's no way in what I'm saying or anybody, like we all in some ways have things that we're privileged in, things that we're not privileged in, 100%. Things that we have access to, things that we don't have access to, you know? But I think there's a call of the gospel that we lay all of it down for the kingdom of God, right? And it's this idea then of like, what resources has the Lord gave to me to steward or had me steward, or however we want to theologically say that. But then how do I give that freely as God has given his grace to me?
You
know? So like even kind of thinking of Wise Life Pacific, you know, on the agenda, I think it's funny because me growing up as a pastor's kid in a local church, for 18 years, and my father is a phenomenal pastor.
You grew up for 18 years?
I did, yeah.
Rumor has it,
until 20, that's when I finally, no, 25, technically 25? Yeah.
Well, when were you off of your parents' insurance?
Oh, that's a great question. 26
is legal.
Yeah, right, probably there you go.
Legally, you're off at 26.
I think 20.
The countdown is on.
Okay, never mind.
from a job, but yes, yeah, one of those things. We can go, you can go into my past and figure it
out. No, it's okay.
You can do the math.
No, you're good. But it's the idea of like, wow, like I remember week one, I'm here at the school, I'm learning, I think it's like intro to biblical literature, and it's just like, I learned so much in one week that I hadn't learned for 18 years.
Yes, that. Kid.
And it wasn't that my dad was like withholding or anything like that. No. It's just there's a difference of like how education systematizes 20 years of experience within like a semester. Like that's kind of going for, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like, wow. And then so what I started doing is like, why is this not at the local church? So I started, and you can quote me on this, I started stealing the syllabuses from the classes I would do, morph them to my own, and then teach those same classes basically at my church.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
I'm this 19-year-old kid sitting there teaching 50 and 60-year-old people who have been Christians all their life, and they come to me and they say, I've never learned this, thank you. And it's like, I have this access to education, and it's kind of, wow, this, you know, plethora of knowledge, and not that in and of itself is like the saving grace, right? But it's an aspect of, you know, a resource to give to people.
Yeah.
And so I just think there's this kind of idea of like, what access do we have? What do we give to people? And I kind of like, it's kind of cool hearing that from your perspective and kind of what you're saying, Andy, like we all have different things that we're privy to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we freely share that with people?
Yeah.
Freely you have received? Something. So
I give such and such and things.
Yeah. And so I think this comments on theologizing and for the church and and we already mentioned that Megan was in the room where I was standing in the back of the room one morning from the night before. So I want to transition to talk about Forest Grove Scholars Fellowship. And I think one of the reasons that that fellowship exists is to be a resource to the church, the journal Quadrum that comes out. You can look for it. Google the word Quadrum. It's Latin, which means four something. But it was the closest thing to Foursquare in Latin that we could come up with. But I was in a room at convention more than 15 years ago when David Moore and Dan Hedges were like, hey, we've got an idea. The board is behind it. We're going to call it Foursquare Scholars. And I don't know if it was already called that. Yeah. And there was maybe like 25, 30 of us. And they're like,
wow.
And I was in my master's at the time. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm interested.
Yeah.
What is this going to be? And then I've been in meetings at convention after that where like our room was off in the corner. People passed it because the meeting got out late and they're on their way to lunch.
Yeah. It's like at 9 at night when nobody knew. I didn't even know it except shout out Jeremy Wallace. He had a sign when it was in Maryland. And he's like, hey, come to this. I was like, I had no idea about it, but okay. And that's how I got connected.
Like, shout out, my shout man, out. Yeah, Jeremy.
And so that's why I was there. And real quick before we get to Megan, I was there with the Foursquare Scholars Fellowship. And also part of that, there's a subcommittee with my friend Gareth Phillips, Dr. Gareth Phillips, who works with Life Bible College Jamaica. He's a regional chair for the Caribbean. Is it Caribbean? Pirates of the Caribbean?
You know, I say Caribbean.
Yeah, it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
But I do say the Caribbean when I'm talking about the place.
I'm scared to say. I don't know.
Okay, I don't know either anymore. Okay.
Data.
Yeah.
There you go. We just, okay, it's whatever.
Okay, so I was with Gareth. I think Josh loved retelling this story more than I loved telling it to him the first time.
Probably, yeah. Let me hear
So Gareth and I are kind of like, what's the word?
Friends?
I don't want to say we're spearheading something because that sounds so violent and aggressive, but we're trying to help push forward this initiative to enfranchise more of our international scholars to have space for these opportunities to network and to cultivate their work.
Yeah.
And so we're walking to go have dinner to talk more about what we're trying to do. And then he's like, oh, Andy, let me introduce you to the national leader of Panama.
Oh, this story.
You do like telling
it
more.
Before you say this story, right, I need to set the scene. I just want somebody, imagine in your mind, you're just POV. Observing this man.
This guy
with a stick walking up to the national leader of the Panama church.
Who's with his whole family that's come to this from Panama. His mom and dad.
And he doesn't know brother Andy. Relative. He doesn't know the guy that walks into a women's only senior leadership thing and finds his way finagling into the corner, right?
That
he doesn't
wild,
know this guy at all.
Yeah.
Okay. So
sorry.
So we're on our way going through like passing one restaurant and so Gareth says, oh, I want to introduce you to my friend. And there's noise everywhere. It's hard to like hear and I don't see anything. So I'm like, sure. And he introduces me and I think it was Umberto or something. Oh, now I'm totally forgetting his first name, but he's like, oh, and he has a PhD in theology. And I'm like, oh, very cool. You should get involved with, and so like Gareth is probably already talking about that. And so we have those cordialities for about 30 seconds, a minute. And I'm like, oh, great. And shake hands. And I step back and they're talking a little bit. And so I'm sleep deprived because of finals and graduation and grading and not sleeping because it's convention. And I have this like no filter. And I'm like, hey, Umberto, can I ask you a question? And I say, is it okay if we get the Panama Canal back?
Stop.
First minute of talking to this guy. Just I just wanna this.
Can we get the Panama Canal back?
Deadpan. He's not smiling either. Andy's deadpanning this. He just is straight faced as you say this after a minute of pleasantry.
So then I'm like, oh no, why did I say that out loud? And I'm thinking, why I just said
this
and
guy's
so
like,
he must have looked at my friend Gareth and Gareth must have given him the side eye like he's cool. You can
He's cool. That's super American, cool. But he's fine.
This is American.
I was violently American, but you're going to have to ignore that real quick. We are in Denver.
Then I smiled and smirked, and everybody laughed, and I think they realized that I was just making a geopolitical joke and not really wanting to hijack the Panama Canal back.
I think we should go talk to the national leader of Mexico next.
There we go. Yeah.
So how do we feel about the Gulf?
Let's just start working our way down the line.
Start getting everybody in this action.
Oh, when I saw the former national leader of Mexico, I forgot to ask him about that.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
This guy won... Muscus. I don't know if I'm saying
it
right.
That's okay.
My church would go and do trips to Mexico, and we went before he was national leader. Right. We'd work with their orphanage and their children's ministry and do these cool things. And then he does this like Nacho Libre kind of thing now, like even as national leader. And he has this whole routine. And so like, when he comes up to me, when I'm greeting at the door to the service, he's like, oh, hi, Andy. And like, that's about all we can say to each other because his English is limited and my Spanish is super limited. Mm-hmm. I should have asked him about that. What about the Gulf of Mexico?
You know, there's always next year.
Next year.
Okay. I mean, next year we're in Texas, so I don't think we want to talk about anything.
No, probably. Oh, wow. But knowing Andy, see, like, Andy and I are kind of similar in that way. If you say don't do it, there's something in our original
you have
sin
to.
Challenge accepted. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. So back to the thing.
Thank you for listening to Blind Faith. Now, a word from our sponsor. Are you ready to hear who's sponsoring this podcast?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Mall of America?
No.
Have you ever wanted to be the Mall of America?
No. Yes.
Oh.
Okay, one yes, one no. But what if I told you DeLeo Brothers Pizza? Okay.
I changed my answer.
One of the best pizzas in all of Minnesota, as voted by the people that vote for that. And here's their slogan. In garlic, we crust.
Oh.
Now you want to go to the Mall of America, don't you?
I'm going to the Mall of America right now.
Let's take a flight.
And they have a second location opening in Seattle. So look it up on this thing called Google. And DeLeo Brothers Pizza, bringing you Blind Faith Podcast. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now back to our regularly scheduled programming. So meeting other scholars from Panama was really cool. But I also got to meet this really... not quite a complete unknown, but not as known in our Foursquare movement, Megan, and I got to hear her for the first time, like do her thing as somebody trained at London School of Theology and so on. So I got to hear her do her thing, and it was amazing. So you can maybe set the scene because you helped organize a little bit what happened, and then you were a part of the panel, or the panel was responding to you. I don't remember how it was all organized. So help us.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, we got like 100 people in there, which was really nice after this session that had gone on for 2 hours. It was like 9 p.m. Yeah. I was like, rock on, guys. You're real serious about this. It was late at night. Mm-hmm. I know. Now that we have enough people, I'm like, okay, who do I have to ask really nicely at Foursquare to give me like a 4 p.m. slot?
Oh, my. Because
this 9 p.m. nonsense is starting to stress me out. I was like, I've been stressed all day.
I started feeling bad. I started feeling bad when I knew it was Kim Walker-Smith leading worship.
Dude, we knew we were not going to get out on time.
No. And,
wow.
Yeah. And then, it was Natalie Runyon. I was like, we're cooked.
We're cooked.
Yeah. We're out of here.
And I was
late.
I was a greeter at the door and people were racing in like at 5:30 to get good seats. And
for sure.
And I'm like, I was saying, slow down, guys. And like, I'm trying to get a good seat. And I knew they'd already been prayed for by the board of directors. I told them they're all anointed seats.
You're like, just pick one. We're fine.
Yeah.
So it was nice. There was a lot of 100 people in there. It was really, really awesome. Who were really willing to ride with us at 9 p.m.
That's crazy.
But yeah, we did a system. It was like four of us I think we do a good job about doing something that's both reaching scholars and pastors. Cause at the end of the day, we are a branch of like, what is a pastor's convention at the end of the day?
Right.
So I think we do a good job of having enough for both.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. I was the fourth speaker, which made me nervous. Cause I was like, not the wrap up. I'm like, I'm the synthesis.
Yeah.
I'm the one that, everyone's staring. And me after three people. Yeah, bring us home, girl. It's late at night.
Yeah. And they started with, was it Aaron Hunter first?
Yes.
Aaron Hunter, who's always killing it whenever he speaks on anything. And then Dave Metzger, who's been former professor here at Life.
Yeah, and phenomenal. Like,
done this for a lifetime.
Wow. Yeah.
And so he was giving kind of like his lifetime of reflections on raising up the next generation.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I forgot.
Heidi
Messner, who always brings it. And then we had Megan Lord.
I know.
Yeah. And she brought the house down.
Thank you. Well, because like half of the room, I feel like a lot of the room, they either know me out of like relationship or like work or something. Yeah. But yeah. I would say that most of the people in that room had never heard me scholarly present anything.
And you were probably, I don't know what the age was, but you were the youngest.
By far.
Yeah, that was going to be my, I was going
to really
ask.
Cool to see like, hey, these are, you know, three people who have been enforcer for a bit. Uh-huh. Here's the next gen that they've all been talking about. And she killed it.
Thank you. Yeah, I was.
Oh, yeah, you were in there too, Josh.
I was actually also there.
There's a high joke.
Yeah, I was. Stop. Like, you can see me in the back. I was. Yeah, there you go. I thought you got up.
I thought you left because you were tired. You kept telling me.
He saw me through the end.
I was just trying to get away from you. That's all. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so it was 20. I was 24. And I think probably the next youngest was
Aaron Hunter.
It was Aaron, who I think is in his early 40s.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, the room itself was obviously not super young. There were a couple like younger folks in there, which was awesome. But I went at the end, and a lot of incredible wisdom. I'd been shaking for the entire portion of the thing. I was like, okay. And then I knew I was going to go over. Like, I knew that my presentation was long. Yeah. And so I was sitting there for like all four presentations, like, okay, trying to like delete stuff. I was like, I don't need, cause I'm going to write a paper about it, but I went the route of writing a presentation and then expanding it. Cause I was like, I don't want to write a paper and then condense it. Cause that seems worse.
Yeah.
So I was waiting. And then at the end, I go up, and everyone had been so, so good. So incredible. And then I go up, and my talk, like my presentation was called Pass the Baton, and it was towards a biblical understanding of passing your leadership to the next generation.
Did you know that Tim Clark did a workshop on why passing the baton doesn't work? And I was asking him, hey man, I remember you and John Fallon like 10 years ago did this whole skit on stage about passing the baton, and and now you're telling us it doesn't work?
Oh, wow.
Because he did his doctorate of leadership or whatever.
It's one of those things that people are challenging the terminology of like pass the flame because it doesn't mean that your leadership stops, which is true.
And I feel like you weren't.
I'm sorry to criticize you right here.
No, you're good.
I sat in the session he's talking about with Tim, so I knew what he was talking about. So
you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know what Tim was talking about.
Nobody
knows
what rooms I'm in.
He's always a lurker.
I said, Tim, see you. Good luck.
Yeah. No, so he's more like literal in the terminology of like literally like if we're going to actually use passing the torch and think of how that physically looks like and you use that as an actual leadership model, like that's not ineffective. But she was more of just like, hey, this is a terminology you guys use all the time.
Yeah.
So let me kind of use a framework you understand to kind of, you know what I mean?
Which really the only biblical example that I mentioned, which someone is passing the flame, is Paul to Timothy. Because everyone else's baton does pass because they don't stick around.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it actually depends on, you can probably change the terminology based on what role you're passing.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
But I also do think that respectfully, pass the flame makes older people feel better about not losing power.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they don't have to, they don't have to give it up.
We don't have to give it up. I still get to keep my flame.
Yeah.
So I think
you think that, sorry, go on.
No. I just think that, so it depends on what you're framing
it as. Is the flame like the Holy Spirit? Because Josh helped me write this essay about symbol.
I think that's what we're saying.
I think, well, I don't know what I think actually. The flame is interesting, right? Because it goes like, is it that they're scared to lose power, right?
Which could be maybe. A part of
it. Yeah.
Or are they scared to be irrelevant because like Western society doesn't care doesn't care for elders. So as soon as I let go of power, nobody's going to care about me anymore. I'm going to fade into existence.
Well, guess why we all don't like elders? Because we don't disciple any generation into liking each other.
There you go.
Because we've all viewed ourselves as competitors. If we disciple people to actually appreciate each other, we wouldn't have to worry about
terminology.
Maybe
we're more interdependent than we thought.
I'll bring it to intercultural or cross-cultural church planting. And Tom Steffen wrote a book titled Passing the Baton, but about planting churches and as a missionary, and then passing the leadership to local leaders. Yeah. And I did that to a degree in Thailand.
Yeah.
Because I read the book, so I knew how to just get
there you go. But, it's a formula.
But there's there's a place, because as an American, just because I'm an American with a Life Bible College degree, they looked at me like, oh, you're special. You have training and you're American. So, I mean, it was weird. And so it's easy to let that go to your head and just go, okay, yeah, do it this way. But when other, and somebody helped critique my thought of like, I want to empower the next like leader, and like, you don't empower them at all. The Holy Spirit does. Oh, okay.
oh God.
But the idea of like, okay, but if I'm still there, then people keep looking at me. You were the leader that was pastoring for a while. So they're doing this, but why do you think that's an okay thing that they're doing? And so there's the passing the baton in that book, his metaphor was there's a time to stay with them as the elder, helping in the mentoring process that you're mentoring them into, and then after, but then there's a time you need to leave.
Yeah, that.
And so my wife and I started feeling this sense of, okay, we're going to have to leave this area maybe. And so we're like, Lord, it would be fun to go to Phuket with these people we were mentoring, and we could help them church plant in Phuket, because why not? It's a tropical vacation destination, and like, it'd be amazing. Or we could go somewhere else in Thailand or in Malaysia or another country. And then our overseer is like, Andy, when you guys go on this prayer retreat, don't forget the U.S. Like, ask the Lord if he wants you to go to the U.S. I'm like, I don't want to ask the Lord if he wants us to go to the U.S. after 6 years and working in Thailand. We're having a great time.
I don't even like that, dog.
And then I did ask the Lord, and he led us to the U.S., which led to teaching here. And now a podcast. Okay, so,
yeah.
But passing the baton, I think there's a value. There is still a value to the idea of letting go.
Yes, there is.
But if we do if we do it short change where we let it go and then just run off, I don't think that the person is all the way like.
I wonder though, equipped. Like, how much of, I don't know. Maybe this is, can I speak out of my ignorance?
Yes, please. That's what this is all about.
Yes. Ignorance. I don't know what you're saying.
Blind faith is ignorant faith. Yeah. Have different reasons for being blind.
Go ahead, Josh.
Right? No, I wonder though, like, because I don't know. I feel like sometimes as Christians, especially in the West, in our context,
West of what?
Yes, great question. More of my ignorance. Is that we kind of like create so many systems or names or things or this and that. And a lot of times I'm like, how much of it have we made our own thing and actually forget in our language and practice that it's Jesus's thing, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So like, are we actually passing the baton, or are you just passing the stewardship role that has for this part? Like, so I think a lot of like the parables are like the manor, right? So like, who owns the manor? Here's the vineyard. Mm-hmm. You're a manager of certain sections of the vineyard. And then one day your role ends. Somebody else takes stewardship.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what Jim Adams talks about a lot of like Old Testament leadership theology is like there's not actually leaders, more of stewards.
Stewards and servants. Yeah.
You know? And I go, what if we actually make church organized in that way? What if we actually...
Oh, come on. No, don't ask questions. Okay, just do it the way we've been doing it, and it's working. Yeah. It's working.
Well,
right? Right, Megan? It's working.
Yeah, that's what it is.
As TikTok talked about Gen Z and leaving the church a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's working, right? The way we've been doing it? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, and maybe we make it a little serious, too. Like, you know, you can't do this because you're going to mess it up. What if you did mess up? Like, why do we not coach and do?
Isn't messing up a learning
every day?
Isn't messing up a learning experience, and like we can grow from it?
Yeah. So I don't know. There's just some of my ignorant thoughts.
Those are good questions. Yeah. Those are good questions.
I like the ignorant thoughts.
Thank you.
They're helpful.
Welcome to Blind Faith.
Tagline.
I do. That's our other motto. Ignorant thoughts.
There you go.
Welcome to Blind Faith.
Also, like, I don't know. I think for me, it's always funny when people are like, "Oh, young people aren't ready," and it's like they're by people.
They're never ready.
But it's like also said by the same people who were given their church when they were 19 because they got married at 18 and had 2 kids.
That's
and I'm like,
crazy.
Oh, so you
that's
think you crazy. Were ready? Like,
because they had
what made you think that you were 19 and you were ready, but now I'm 19 and I'm not? And you watch and you compare our lives.
Yeah.
You actually sit down and compare our lives, and there's nothing different, if not. And this isn't even like to be prideful. Oftentimes I'm more qualified than they were when they took their church. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. But it's always like not. And this is why in the paper that I am going to write, but I didn't present this part in the presentation.
Yeah.
Is this comparison between like power leadership and servant leadership.
Oh. Wow.
And so it's like, if we have, I just think we, as in the American church specifically, have taken pulpits as like status symbols and they're pieces of power. Yeah. And so because that's our power, that people don't want to give it up anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're like, like, I've earned it. Like I've gotten to this point where it's mine to give. First of all, it's not even yours to give.
Wow.
Like if the Lord himself showed up and said to you, you're done now.
Yeah.
Like you don't get
the
choice.
What happened to my dad. So my dad was doing it for 22 years. My mom hit burnout real bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my dad, I'm like, hey, we might need to like think. And so they prayed and he stepped down after 22 years, you know, and you know, they transitioned all that. And so, he didn't get, you know, the warmest reception from his peers because they're like, oh, you got out too early. Why'd you give up? It was like the craziest thing. They just turn on him and it's like either out of envy or out of like ignorance. We're just like, this is not how we think. Why are you not thinking like us?
Yeah.
You know? And so I applaud my dad for like listening to the Lord and, you know,
and
he transitioned so well because he's like, what I did was pastor. But I know who I am, and what I am is not a pastor. It's what I do,
you know. Right.
Yeah.
And that like distinction, like who are they apart from their pulpit?
Wow.
Right. Okay. Do we blend our identity?
Because the pastoral
so much
call is not exclusively a pulpit.
Yeah. Like, which I think is important.
Yeah.
It's important to be made aware of.
And I want to just make a little footnote here as we're going along.
Sorry, this is a funny episode.
No, it's okay. As long as we're laughing, I don't know if Foursquare's laughing. This is, I think for those listening, these are the conversations that happen in the hallways at convention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're just giving you a window in because we have an experience at one session and then we continue the conversation in the hallway. Hey, what do you think about this? And, and so us asking questions isn't meant to criticize or pull down or, subvert or what's the other word that
insubordination
that we don't want to take away. We don't want to take away something from somebody or like throw mud at the wall. Like this is, these are just the questions that we're asking, or as we're trying to understand where's my place.
And I think who am I? The beauty of it is everybody, we're trying to pursue Jesus and do the mission and the calling that he had. And we all have different ways of doing it, different thoughts. And then, you know, as you have grown and become a global movement, you're going to have more voices and people with perspectives. Yeah. And so like, I think it's kind of cool from my perspective. And like what you're saying, Andy, is like people walk away from these sessions where they're walking away from cross, like cross generational or cultural talks and stuff like that. And we're asking questions, but we all kind of have this like heart of like, how do we follow Jesus and do the mission the church was given in light of being diverse in these things. And it, and so like, even to your points, like, the questions are good. And then it's kind of even like, why are we asking questions so that we can help better and, you know, bring everybody on and reconcile and stuff like that.
So,
I don't know where we are on time, but I do know Josh had a question that he really wanted to ask.
We're at 46, but a lot of that he can cut. There's so much.
But Josh did have a question that he wanted to ask because he thought this was hilarious.
Oh, did you?
A question. I don't think I remember. Now I'm going to let your podcast down.
No, it was something about my eating habit at convention.
Bro, okay, listen. Right, this is, I guess this is a funny landing point. Okay, so Andy spent no money on lunch his whole time there.
Okay.
Because every and anybody bought him lunch every day. And we started not actually placing bets, like metaphorically joking. But are you going to buy your lunch today? And
he's like, no, I have a lunch.
The whole way through, everybody bought him lunch and he didn't buy his lunch once.
It's fiscally responsible.
I would bring out my credit card to like buy lunch and then I got it. I'm like,
period, thanks.
Yeah. Like, that's how I would have.
That's what I said. Yeah. Hey.
It was strange. It was strange because I went on a super tight budget. Like, I got some help to fly out there. I volunteered to get registration covered, and then I was like, okay, I have to eat somewhere. I usually eat at home for budget, but it's like, okay, and now I'm at the Gaylord Resort where everything is
$90 bajillion. Please.
My roommate from college who lives in Denver came and had breakfast with me Monday morning of convention, and I was going to eat with somebody Monday afternoon and Sunday night when I was just getting there to get checked in. They're like, oh, text comes in, hey, I just realized at 1 o'clock is the women in ministry leadership something, can we meet earlier? And I was like, we could, except I'm volunteering from 10 to 1. So then I said, well, we could eat dinner now. And so we had dinner. So that started, I didn't know what I was doing for dinner. I didn't know what I was doing for dinner. And then I had dinner. and then
he provides.
And then
he will make a way.
And then I'm volunteering by the registration, which is by the iPads. People need to like sign in. I'm like, I can't see what they're doing, if I need to fix anything, but they just wanted me to be waving and helping point people the right way. And so then I'm like, okay, there's going to be a lot of my friends going to the women in ministry leadership luncheon. So much so that it was packed, standing room only. But then I'm like, maybe a pastor's husband will be looking for something to do.
Oh my God.
And I did see yesterday Ken Archer had like some pastor husband cupcake given to him by Melissa Archer.
Nice.
So I was like, yeah, pastor husband, that's a thing. I have friends that are pastor husbands. Like, that's a thing. Why not? And so I'm looking for a pastor husband who might not know that many people because he's along for the ride. And I'm like, Lord, just help me have the right person to meet between 10 and 1 that can go to lunch with me. Not to pay for lunch because he's a pastor husband. He's a pastor husband of a church planter. Turns out that I'm running to him like, hey, yeah, I still have your phone number. Yeah. So we meet up and have lunch and I'm going to pay. But then he's like, oh, I got it.
Yeah.
At the end of the meeting, I guess his wife was like, what? You bought him lunch? We got no money. But so that one thing after another, I go to lunch with Gareth. I'm like, I'm not going to like, he's from Jim. I'm not. But the next thing, like he's paying for this.
It's just like story he's after paying story. For the
story
he's paying,
after story.
And he's trying to pay for it the whole time. Like at the end of the week, you're literally like card almost on the reader and people are like slapping your hand. Yeah. Down, like, no, I got it.
Wow. My friend Jeff Schultz, he's like, he and his wife, we've known each other since like I was a camp intern with Jeff.
Right.
Like, so let's not say how many years ago 1997 was.
I can't do the math yet. I'm a history guy.
Okay, we won't.
We'll just say 20. We've used 25 a lot.
So okay, so he and I have known each other super long. And he's like almost 30 years. So he goes, I got this. And there was a group of us. So I didn't expect that they were covering the whole group.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I wasn't even going to eat. But then I was so hungry after walking around looking restaurant after restaurant for them to eat.
Yeah.
And so he goes, and he likes to joke with me because we used to quote Dumb and Dumber at camp interning.
As you do in 1997.
Yeah. And so he's like, let's just be honest, Andy. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, you haven't paid for a single meal this whole convention.
Oh.
And I'm like, how do you know? Wait.
Am I that transparent?
And he's like, it's because they're like, oh, the poor blind guy.
Oh my God.
And he's like, and maybe they also love you. And I'm like, well, as long as that's in the like top 10, then they love me. It's not just pity. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. They must've known like I'm poor. Like,
it's honest confession. When I first met you, I didn't know, okay, you're blind. I didn't know how to interact with that. But the more I got around, I kind of like understand. So there could be some credibility of the poor.
Oh,
blind
there
guy
probably
part,
is.
But, yeah.
But I know some of the people that were covering were not.
Now I don't think of you the poor blind guy. I go, oh no, there's some shenanigans again.
This is out there. So next year I better save my money. I have to pay it
Everyone's
back.
Everyone's like, I'm not paying for Andy.
I was just,
I was just telling.
Let him pay for you. Saving up.
I was just telling Colin Barry a story about, because Steve Cecil, who's, well, we shouldn't say his name. He's got an alias now, but with the work he does with Foursquare.
Cut that out.
Chandler.
Yeah. He might not. But I was telling Colin Barry. I was telling Colin Barry like the couple days before coming, like, my friend Steve, when he was youth pastor and I'd go hang out with him in Madison, Wisconsin, he's like, oh, bless me this meal. If you bless me this meal, somebody will bless you in the future.
Oh.
I'm like, I don't think that's how it works, dude. Like,
that's what Facebook told me.
I'm like younger
that's
than
what Prosperity told me.
I'm younger than you. I'm like, but somehow I kept going, all right, and I'd buy him like a cheeseburger because I felt sad that he was a poor youth pastor,
right?
And I was just a poor youth pastor.
Right.
So like,
it's
like, wait, how come I'm buying your meal?
Circle right there.
But I guess it did come back. Yeah. So pay it forward? I don't know.
There you go.
Is that theologically correct? I don't think so. But
it's outside my wheelhouse. Put a pin in that. Ignorant podcast.
Maybe we should circle back and just kind of...
You start your own. Ignorant things.
Let's wrap. Maybe put a wrap on this. And they like convention, good place to see friends again.
Yeah. And connect, as the name says. Yeah.
It's good.
Connection.
There you go.
Yeah.
I did feel like the Spirit was speaking to me.
Yeah.
People prayed for me. Mm-hmm. Even when I was greeting, like Leslie Kegel walks by and Baylin, his wife, and oh, Andy, good to see you. I'm like,
that's cool.
I go, hold on. I'm going to stop greeting for a minute Yeah. Please come. Can you pray? Do you have anything prophetic? Because he always has prophetic. Yeah. And I was like, and he did. And he had this very like profound prophetic word that he prayed for me. As I stopped him in his old age from getting to his seat to sit down. But
anointed seat.
Well, because he would be sitting in it. So I'm just like, Leslie, hey, can you stop? So there were some really divine connections that the Lord gave to me. And I think to a lot of people there, I heard, like, really heard the Lord clearly. I heard, like,
yeah.
So if you're listening, next year, San Antonio, go.
See you
there. But yeah, maybe final thoughts, Salma, Megan.
I mean, I've only been to Connection once, but I really want to go in Texas. So maybe I can make that happen. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's always cool to hear it. And I know for like me as a student, it's just refreshing to know that you guys are having like the same conversations that we are. Cause like we're talking about the church and we're challenging things and we're asking questions. So it's kind of encouraging to know, okay, we all kind of don't know what we're doing a little bit.
Right.
So that makes me feel better at my age.
We're all confused, huh?
Yeah. We're all trying to figure out Jesus.
Yeah. So
I do know Josh had some really great, we stayed up way too late the last night there.
Yeah, we did. It was a good time.
Telling stories and just I don't
There's
sleep deprived sleep deprived. Okay, so we should probably
anything's funny.
But what?
I said anything's funny at 1 a.m.
Yeah, right.
It's 2 a.m.
It was hilarious.
There you go. Yeah.
But yeah, and Megan, just any other experience from convention you want to just hit a note before we leave?
I mean, it's good. I think that once we get to the point where we are giving themes for the events and then we actually have things that we're going to do when we leave.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's going to be when we hit our sweet spot. Cause I even asked on the mic, we love talk about next gen. What are we going to do?
Yeah. Right.
And there was essentially,
let me think about it.
I don't know. And so I think it's one thing and it's really encouraging that we're having good conversations. All things start out of good conversations and good ideas.
Yeah. I think I did say to somebody that we're going to send that recording to the leadership so they can have some ideas of what to do.
Yeah. And so now I think we will really, really hit a good sweet spot is when we start before we get to the connection floor.
Yeah.
Good. Having actually things that we can put into motion and that we can tell everyone, this is what we're feeling. This is what we're actually going to be doing about it.
Yeah.
When we leave here. So I think that this was good, a good year for Pastor Summer Camp. I think a lot of us had some encounters with the Lord that we really, really needed, that I think we're really rejuvenating and really renewing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And so now I'm hoping that now that we're all renewed and regenerated, that we spend the next year brainstorming and plotting and scheming on really practical ways to move forward, not just for this conversation, but whatever theme next year's connection is, like that we bring to the floor. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, we're not just going to talk about it in front of everybody. We're actually going to do something about it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really good mic drop moment. So that's a good spot for us to end. Thanks for listening to a bonus episode of Blind Faith. Just tune into TikTok Theology. It's also in the same place. It's in the same place as you find this. TikTok. I don't know how to spell that.
The world knows, I think.
Stephen Felix Yeager and Megan Lord, and you can find it. And so, see you next time. This has been another episode of Blind Faith. Enjoy having you with us, and come stick around. If you like this one, give us a click like, and whatever platform you're on, give us a rating, and go ahead and subscribe. We're glad you're here with us. We'll be with you again soon.